lukewarm. They knew God. That old church at Sardis knew God, and they were dead. They died twice. Said, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. Now, what a bunch of people. Woe unto them. That means they'll have heartache, and they'll have heartbreak, they'll have sorrow, and they'll have physical affliction. That's what God's woes are, physical affliction and heartache. God says it'll come to them. There's the people that wander away. God, they ran in the way of Cain. That is, they wouldn't give the sacrifices that God required. Ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. Everything they did it for money. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah that rose up in rebellion against the authority of a true man of God. God always cried out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. God's got a Gideon. They murmured against God and Moses. Hey, you always got to have a fellow that's the object of your scorn that's telling you what God said. You can't just cry against God. You got to have somebody that is doing God's work or talking for God that you're going to vent your wrath upon. These codgers know they can't kill God. They can't hurt God. They want to hurt somebody that's doing God's work. That's the object of their scorn, their wrath. God have mercy sake, sir. Oh, accusations trying to kill the influence of everything he does. And people believe that. You know, you can be dead twice. Yes, you can. How about the prodigal son? Lord have mercy sake. That prodigal son in Luke, the 15th chapter. Let's take a little look at that. Verse 24 and verse 32. For this my son was dead and is alive again. That son was home with his father, was saved. When he left home and devoured his father's living on harlots with riotous living, he was lost. There's a lot of lost people in the churches today, hanging around churches. It used to be in the church. God's son that left home was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. The last verse of the chapter 32. It was meet. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but he's found. What a wonder of wonders. When you turn a backslider, a rebel, back to God. They ain't all going to get back. There's a lot of them we can save. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that's spotted by the flesh. Old brother Jude has to tell us in Jude 22 and 23. God help us to stand between the dead and the living and warn the living. Warn the living of the consequences of their rebellion and their idolatry and their pleasure-maddening quest for things that satisfy the flesh and what it's going to lead them to, that they, if they wander out of the way of understanding that we're teaching them from the Word of God, they're going to go out and remain in a congregation of dead people. So says the Word of God, and it shall be done, and it is being done on a scale and a magnitude that we never thought possible a few decades ago. We read it in the Bible. But I never could conceive of the church being in the mess it's in today. Dead people everywhere. God, have mercy sakes alive. 30, 40 years ago, you didn't have this mess. You had little incidents happening in the church. It always has been. But never the magnitude of apostasy and backsliding and depravity and idolatry and the quest for that which the flesh is satisfied by. The churches are dead. He or she that lives in pleasure are dead while they're living, even in a church. And the old fellow in the pulpit, he's as guilty as the people in the pews. And therefore, there's a dead head in the pulpit. God help us to stand between these dead and the living. God did these things in the Old Testament as our example. And he did it. Why? He did it because defiance and rebellion against himself and against his word and against his prophet, just like is present in the church of today. And again, let me finish up in repeating 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 6. Now, these things were our examples in the Old Testament, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 11. Now, these things were happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon the whom the ends of the world are come. God's going to judge the church here in this end time, he says, like he judged the church in the wilderness that had a prophet named Moses as their pastor. God, have mercy. If that church couldn't live no better than that with a prophet of that caliber, what you think they're going to do today? What you think they're going to do today? No wonder he said, I'm going to have to send you Elijah. I'm going to have to send Elijah, the prophet. When John the Baptist came, they asked him in John 1, St. John 1, said, are you the Messiah? He said, I'm not. He said, are you Jeremiah? No. He said, are you Elijah? No. But he came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Why did he come? That angel told his father, Luke 1, verses 14 and 15, he said, he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. The hearts of the fathers' parents back to their children. And the disobedient unto the wisdom of the just. And make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was in fulfillment, partially, of the last two verses of the Old Testament, the Bible that was given to the church of old. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children hearts to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Folks, that spirit of Elijah has got to anoint a man to stand between the dead and the living, even to save a holy remnant and prepare them for the coming of the Lord. To heal these breaches between parents and their children. To heal the breaches between the disobedient church members and preachers and God Almighty that has a controversy with this church of the end time. And stand between those dead ones and the living ones to hold them back from proceeding further out into the devastating judgments of God that are arising in incurable diseases of epidemics, terrorism, famine, and natural and divine disasters as earthquakes and floods and droughts and other things that's going to devastate the physical population and bring God's people into divine judgments to turn their hearts back to God and true repentance. Make my voice strong, O God. Make thy servant strong to stand at your right hand between them dead ones and the living ones that haven't gone all the way into their defiance and acts of rebellion against you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Grant us grace, Lord, and touch every heart. May this message bring old-fashioned conviction. May it bring even saints back in remembrance of the good old days when the church was victorious, when the voices of prophets were heard in this land, when churches were on fire, when camp meetings sprung up everywhere, revivals brought and turned many to God throughout this great land. Lord, help us to have a return, O God, of the fear of God upon us, that we can affect our generation and help save that remnant out of the midst and in the midst of divine judgments that's going to be poured out before the Lord's return. Restoration! God, make us ministers of restoration. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Praise the Lord.